What's up, everyone? Adam Saxton and
Patrick LeBlanc.
And we are Guy in a Cube, and we have another episode of Adam and Patrick Unplugged. So, Patrick, we're not in New York this time.
Not in New York.
We got a lot of people liked it. Yeah. It was entertaining. So
maybe when we're together again, we do it again.
Yeah. We'll have to. And we'll have to pull in some people to help make it entertaining.
Yeah. I'm trying to think when we're next. Next we'll be in...
It's going to be Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Next month. Mid-July.
Mid-July.
Yeah.
Cool, man. We'll do it. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm always excited, though.
So why don't we just start off with that? Because we're talking about where are we going to be in July? Where are you going to be in July?
Atlanta, right? First, you're doing a pre-con in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'm going to come hang out with you.
That's on July 14th. July 14th.
Yeah. Still got seats available, do you?
Absolutely. You can sign up for it. It's still, I'm pretty sure you can sign up for it till the last minute. So we're doing a deep dive of Power BI. So
a deep dive.
Come fry your brain. We'll do some brain melting. So
I'm just going to sit in the back and listen, man.
I'll melt your brain too. It's okay.
All right. Look forward to getting melted. All right. Okay. Like a little candle. You'll melt it like a little candle.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then we're going to go to
Louisiana. Yeah, Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge.
My old stomping ground, man. My old stomping ground. We got lots of sessions, though. Then you can go check out the schedule. Not only are we doing the pre-con, Power BI Desktop beginning, or Power BI Desktop to Enterprise, but we got lots of sessions.
Yeah, didn't they give us something like our own track?
Almost. Almost.
It's like almost like all of us. It's like all of it.
I'm excited.
Yeah, man. That's going to be fun. So I'm gonna drive out there too. So I'm not flying. So I'm close.
Oh,
4 hour drive.
I'm driving. You know what? I'm driving. I'll spend the whole week.
Oh, yeah.
I'll spend the whole week. Yeah. I'm actually gonna go to Houston to see my mom for a couple of days.
Cool.
And then come back to Baton Rouge and spend a little time out there.
Nice.
And then we'll hook up on Thursday or whenever you get in.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be getting in on Thursday, and then it'll be fun.
Yeah, cool. It's exciting. Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah. So I hear you were telling me something about some like hierarchy hiding members stuff that you found. Tell me more about that. Tell me more.
So I have been tinkering around, playing with SQL Server 2017, Analysis Services 2017. And I have a customer. I had a customer. They have these hierarchies where it's racket. I'm assuming everybody knows what it's not. You know, it's not. They have varying levels. One person may have two levels. One person may have one level. One person may have no levels.
So like it's like curved or like it's ragged. It's like so it's not straight.
It's not straight. Okay. It's not straight. Exactly.
Just check.
It's not straight.
Just
check. Somebody goes, well, does it need to be cleaned up? I was like, nah. We need to hide some.
No. If it had to be cleaned up, it'd be called a dirty hierarchy, right?
Dirty.
Not a ragged hierarchy.
All right. So I have a customer and they want Power BI to support ragged hierarchies. Like I think multidimensional models support them out of the box. And so in 2017 AS they added a property. And so there's a property that they added, and I'm gonna go over here to my machine and show you what I'm talking about. So once you build out your Tableau model and the latest, you need the latest version of SQL Server Data Tools. I think it's like 2017 or something like that. And once you create the hierarchy, I like to use the new Tableau Model Explorer that's there. And then there's a property called Hide Members. So you click on the hierarchy and there's a property called Hide Members, and you can click the drop down. You got two choices, default and hide blank members. If you choose hide blank members, when you go to use it, if there's any, varying in the levels, instead of showing a blank, it hides it. And it's pretty nice. There's one thing that I want to show you that I'm a little unhappy with. In Excel, if you go to Excel and I'm connected to the AS 2017 and I'm connected to the hierarchy and a pivot table, it does a really good job of hiding the blanks. It's phenomenal how it works, nice clean hierarchy. But if you go to Power BI and like use the matrix visual, for example, and you start drilling into it, what you're going to see is that the blanks just show up everywhere. And it's a little sad. It breaks my heart a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to assume as rapid as those Power BI guys are working, the team's working, that they'll fix this eventually. So got my fingers crossed. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that it's there. It works great in Excel. Hopefully it'll come to Power BI pretty soon.
Yeah. Do you know if there's an ideas item out for that? I got to believe there is.
I gotta believe there is, right, but I think the votes. Yeah, take a look. I think the votes are low. But you know what else? There's a custom hierarchy. There's a custom visual for the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. A custom hierarchy visual that a guy's. I'm not sure who he is or who she is that's developing. And I did see on the release notes from on their site that they're gonna have a property to hide blank members there too. So pretty cool. I did a little research.
So they handle dirty hierarchies. They can clean them up.
If not yet, they will be able to. The dirty one. You know what? I just want to take. We just take the dirty hierarchy out back and hose it down.
Just hose it down.
It'd
be like at the prison, like where they just like throw the powder on you, man, and then take out the fire hose. And
this is going a bad direction. This is going. Let's rewind it.
Right? It's like old school. It's like Shawshank Redemption kind of. Here we go.
Shawshank. You know what I've been watching? I've been watching Orange Is the New Black on Netflix.
Oh yeah, that's a funny show.
Yeah. Right. No, it's pretty cool though. I like it.
You know what's a funny show? It's on Netflix. Well, it's maybe somewhere else also. I don't know if it's a Netflix only show. It's called The Range. I don't know if you've heard of it. Oh my gosh. It's like the most unpolitically correct show that leans like if you're like conservative and like right, you will love the show because it leans that way. But it's like they throw some punches on there. It's pretty funny. It's like a Western kinda. It's what's his name? Kutcher. I can't remember his first name, starts with an A. Like I keep wanting to say Aspen, but it's not. It's Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton.
So he's
that 70s show guy.
Yeah, he's one of the producers of the show, and he stars in it, and it's just funny. It's a funny show.
Cool. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So the hierarchy thing. So we know it doesn't work. It works with Excel. It doesn't work with Power BI yet, and we don't have any details of like is that going to be fixed and when or anything like that.
If
I find an idea, I'll look for an ideas item, and if it's there, I'll have it down in the description below, and so go vote it up if that's something that you're interested in, and if it's not there, go create it if you're interested in it and then vote it up.
If it's not there, maybe I'll create it.
I
think this needs to be there. It's not coming up a lot, but it's come up a couple of times with some customers. Yeah. So either way,
there's going to be a link down in the description. Either it already exists or we're going to create it and you can go vote it up if you care about it and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
One thing I've been telling people as I talk about ideas items is like if you're going to create it, you got to go evangelize it. Like, you got to market it. You got to let people know that it's there. Otherwise, they're probably never going to find it. Just be sure you're making some noise about it. If you're passionate about it and you really want it fixed, don't just submit it and forget about it. You got to do some work.
Got to do something.
Got to work it.
What else, man? What else? What else going on?
So when we were in New York, we said we weren't talking about premium then, but we said we'd talk about it this month. So we had Data Insights Summit, and we announced the general availability of premium and all the other tons of announcements that happened during Data Insights Summit and a couple times after. So we can talk about premium. Like everything's out there. So
and there's a lot of questions too.
Tons of questions. That I talked in a roundup that the dust has not settled on that yet. There's still people.
So you know, is it still dirty? Is premium still dirty?
No, premium is never dirty.
Okay.
It's new, right? And it's change, and it, you know, when change happens, it takes a little adjusting and got to get used to it, right? And part of it is just a lack of understanding also. So we need to understand what premium is, what's it for, how does it interact with things. One of the big misconceptions that I get are, well, so, you know, now that I have premium, I don't need to buy pro. And that's not true.
That's not true.
So it's considered a add-on to Pro. So you need to have a Pro user because the Pro users are the ones that can, publish content into workspaces, and they have all the collaboration and sharing items. So if you want to share your dashboards and items, you need to have a Pro license. And the way that I try to explain it, and I'm going to steal a line I heard from Adam Wilson at Data Insights Summit also, because I like this, is that free and pro are licenses. So every user is free or pro, period.
Okay.
They have all a free right. license or they have a pro license. They never have a premium license because there are no licenses with premium, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a premium license.
Right. No, it's a subscription. It's a resource item. It's how you can, you know, it gives you capabilities for it's your personalized instance of Power BI for your organization.
Is it almost like buying a server?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And and the way that Adam Wilson put it is that licenses are for users, premium is for content.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So you're talking about your reports, your workspaces. It's for the content. It's for resources and performance of your content, not your users. Right. Now the thing that I think makes this a little confusing is that premium does offer some functionality and feature perspectives. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think it gets a little muddied and it's not as clear because there are feature components that get lit up or enhanced with premium. So
give me an example of one.
Just give
me an example.
Sharing apps with free users is the biggest thing.
So we're not talking about a workspace. We're talking about creating an app and sharing that app with people who are not pro users.
Correct. So so we have an app workspace.
Yep.
Workspaces, only pro users can be part of workspaces. And then part of the app workspace is if we have dashboard report data set inside of the app workspaces, we can publish an app. And the app is kind of like a view into the workspace, but it's not the workspace, right? It's like think of it like a photocopy that we're sharing out with someone.
And an app is similar to what we used to know as a content pack.
It's similar. Similar. There are differences though.
Yeah. But not the same, but something like it. Something like it.
Yeah, it's the easiest way to wrap your head around it is to think of it like a content pack, but it is different. Mm-hmm. So one of the differences between app and content packs is you can have multiple content packs. You can only have one app per workspace. So the app is a one-to-one sharing with the workspace today. So that, you know, who knows if that'll change down the road and maybe you can make, you know, multiple apps, but today it's a one-to-one mapping. So, you know, that's what it is. And then the app, when I publish the app, if the app workspace is not backed by premium, so you haven't assigned it to a premium capacity node, then only pro users can see the app when they go to get data.
So I'm a free user. We don't have premium in my organization, okay? Yep. Right? So in my organization, I have four pro users who create stuff, they develop stuff, they publish stuff, they create this app workspace. Mm-hmm. And then they create an app that contains the content. I'm a free user. I go to get data. I can't see it.
Nope.
But the pro users can see it.
The pro users will see it.
We say, my organization, we decide, hey, you know, we want premium. We get some premium. We back it. You know, we back all of our stuff by premium. Then I can see it.
Yeah, if you back that workspace by a P SKU.
Yep.
I laugh every time I say that. A P SKU.
Is it a P or is it a PP SKU? I'm just saying.
All right. I don't know. So if you back it by a P SKU, so P1 through P3, then free users will be able to see it in when you go to get data.
All right. So now you introduced something else. So there's
SKU. Threw it in there.
There's a PPP SKU and there's a EEE SKU. What's the difference?
So you've got the EM SKUs and you got the P SKUs. The EM SKUs are specific to embedding and API usage. And the P SKUs, and that there was a, I had a conversation on, I've had multiple conversations on Twitter about this as well. Confusion there. Like, one of the questions I got was like, okay, so if I get the EM SKU because I want to embed, does that mean I also have to pay for a P SKU on top of that? Because the EM SKUs are cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So EM1, it's like $650 or something like that. And so, okay, I'm paying $650 so I can embed. Does that also mean I need to pay $5,000 for a premium SKU as well? Mm-hmm. So they're all premium SKUs.
Yeah.
EM is just for developer, like the embedding and API usage.
So when you say embedding, I know you're talking about the SDK, but does that
REST
include
APIs.
Like does that include Team if I embed in Team page?
Yes.
Does that include if I embed in SharePoint?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So those type of embedding options. Correct. In addition to the SDK.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So any right. any type yeah. of embedding functionality or API usage functionality.
Okay.
The P SKUs are kind of the bigger set of SKUs. They cost more. They have higher limits, and those include the ability to embed as well. Plus, they include the UI capabilities inside of the Power BI service as a whole. So, like the app functionality of to free users, you need a P SKU to be able to do that.
Okay, so the P SKU gives you everything, and the E SKU just gives you the embedding.
It's kind of a cheaper. It's a cheaper entry point for embedding specifically. Now, it's also got lower limits too. So we talk about limits. So one of the things I'll go back to the embedding part is there's confusion also about like, oh man, if I want to embed or if I want to use these APIs, I have to have premium. And that's not true. So let me break that down. So you need as a developer, I can use today. I don't have premium in my organization. I can write code against the REST APIs and they will work.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So as a developer, I can create my application. I can test it. Everything works and I don't need premium. So I could have my own little test tenant where I'm building that against. And then when I move to production, that's when I need premium. So what I need premium for is it's got the higher limits of API usage, right? So I may own as a developer, I don't know what the actual, without premium, I need to look and see what the limits are there, but hypothetically, let's just say I can render reports maybe 10 times in an hour without premium. And so the minute the EM SKU, and I'll flash up the SKU grid that we have out on the documentation. And so the EM SKU, the lowest limit on there is 300 renders per hour. So it's like 300 to, I think, 600 or something like that. I don't know. It's up on the screen. And so that is the, actually, let me look. Let me double check here.
I can be a developer without, I can develop and test my app and do whatever I'm doing, my embedding. I can do everything I need to do without premium. And then when I'm ready to go live to production for a larger, you know, audience or a larger number of renders, then I need my premium
SKU. So the EM1 SKU is 1 to 300 renders per hour or per peak hour, right? So it's per peak hour. So like within a given day, you're going to have a peak hour of the most usage during the day.
Okay.
And so that's where your limit comes from. So EM1 is like 1 to 300. In comparison, the P1 SKU is 1,201 to 2,400.
Wow.
So I mean, it's significantly more. So if you're thinking about it from developing an application, you're going to maybe start off with an EM SKU because look, I only have like 10 or 15 users hitting it and they don't hit it very often. But then, you know, if it blows up and a lot of people start using this, then you may want to upgrade to like a P1 or a P2 SKU to handle the load. So it's all about throttling, right? Like when am I going to hit a roadblock and the stuff's going to stop rendering? I'm going to get an error, right?
So I guess the question is, can I go from E to P?
You can absolutely. So you can buy as many capacity nodes as you want. So you can start off and purchase an EM1 capacity node.
Yeah.
And that's, you're using that. You've assigned the workspace to that capacity node, right?
Yeah.
And then later on, if I need to grow up a little bit because I need bigger limits, I can go and purchase a P1 capacity node and then change the workspace to point to that P1 capacity node. So then it moves into the bigger capacity node at that point.
Yeah, you don't want to be a little baby. You want to be a grown man.
No.
You want to be a grown man.
Yeah. So, and that's the cool thing about premium too, is there's a concept, there's a growing or scaling out concept, and there's a scaling up concept. And so the scaling out is, hey, I'm hitting some resource usage. I need to kind of add another SKU, or I need to add another capacity node. And then maybe when I start, I've got two app workspaces in the same capacity node.
Yeah,
In the same P1 SKU, or in the
that
same.
Doesn't seem that complicated to me, though. I think it's cleared up. I don't think it's that people. I think people are making it more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah, it's all about resource usage, and it's about like what can I do inside of that capacity node, and I can grow it up. So you grow it up by buying a bigger bigger SKU, so P1 to P2 to P3, that grows it up because it's going to have bigger resources available for you to handle that load. And then if you want to grow it out, because I've got multiple app workspaces, I maybe just need to spread them out a little bit, then you buy multiple of those nodes. Maybe I'm 2 to 3 P1 SKUs, and you know, I just assign those workspaces to different capacity nodes. And then they're isolated, and they have their own resources available to them.
So that's
premium, right? And so it enables more flexibility for your organization.
I tell you what, I work in education at Microsoft, and so I think it's making my life easier because I have some customers that want that, hey, I have my developers, my authors who's creating, and I need my people that's consuming, but I don't want to buy 50,000 pro licenses, you know, for every single person, because those, you know, a large population of my audience, they're only going to view reports. And I think this is where premium is going to just make my life so much easier.
Yep. So now, one thing I remember in Adam Wilson's talk on premium, he made a comment, and I need to validate. I haven't validated if this is true or not. It goes against what my understanding was. He made the comment that if you don't have premium, pro users can't share to free at any time. Right. So
I thought that's... okay.
Right. Well, so free users are free users are isolated. They can't, their sandbox, a pro user cannot share to a free user can't share to anyone. Pro users
that caused thing that right there, right?
I know,
the free not sharing. I thought I was going to get punched in my face a little bit. Right? I'm like a boxer guarding myself.
Man. I know. We had to walk around with bodyguards and everything. Don't shoot the messenger.
Please don't shoot the
messenger. No, it worked out, though. So they, even though that's not there, some of the things that did come out of community involvement, which was awesome, is that we lit up the capabilities to export to Excel, to PowerPoint, and export to CSV. So
and you still can publish to web, right?
Free you can still publish still can to publish web. To yep. web. Yep.
Yeah, that's okay.
So that's available.
Publish to web.
More thing. But the thing with that is the comment that Adam made was, if you back Adam Wilson, not this Adam.
If you back
the workspace by premium, or if you know if you're in premium, then you can share to free users. And to clarify that, what I think was meant is that, yes, you can share to free users through apps, right? Not directly.
So
like, you can't share a dashboard in an app workspace to a free user. I don't think that works.
Right. Here's something. If I'm backed by premium, can a free user share?
Nope. A free user can never share. Doesn't matter.
Never
share.
Never. Sorry, Mr. Free User.
Now, technically, you can assign when you have premium, you can assign workspaces to a given capacity node, you can technically assign a free user's personal workspace to a capacity node. You can assign a whole organization to a capacity node.
That's confusing now, but if I assign it, can they share? They still can't share.
They can't share, but what will happen is they'll take advantage of the resources of the capacity node.
Got it.
So meaning, like, as a free user, I can technically set up a gateway, and I can set up schedule refresh for a data set that I'm hosting.
Yeah.
Without premium, I'm limited to 8 schedule refreshes a day.
Okay.
But if my personal workspace is backed by premium as a free user, now I still get the advantage of scheduling refresh up to 48 times a day. So I still get some of the benefits of premium.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still
a free user. But now as a free user, I get all the pro capabilities, right?
Yeah, outside of premium. So forget premium for a second. Now, all the capabilities outside of the sharing and collaboration piece, free users can do. So that includes on-premises data gateway. It includes live connections. It includes direct query. So they can do all of
it. Right? It's kind of like my own personal business intelligence, right?
Yeah.
My own personal BI. One more thing.
We
talked about it a lot. So I don't want to use PowerBI.com. I want to use the new Power BI report server to do all of my stuff. Yeah. I don't want to publish my data to the cloud.
You don't want the cloud. You're afraid of the cloud.
Our culture, we're not ready for that. We're not ready for that in my organization. I'm not ready to walk on clouds and have all that misty stuff around my face.
Yeah.
And I just want to be back in the
office. You're not living the dream, right? Because you're
not
in the cloud.
I'm living the dream, right? I'm wide awake. My eyes are wide awake right now, man. I'm not sleeping at all. And so I want to stay on-prem. What do I need to do? What do I need for the Power BI report server in regards to licensing, or what do I need to buy?
Yeah. So in order to So you can go download Power BI Report Server right now, just from the Microsoft Download Center. And by default, you'll have an option to install it as an evaluation edition, or you can install it as the developer edition for free. Like, you can do that right now. But if you want to go to production, you need a product key. And in order to get a product key, one of two things need to be true. Either one, you have purchased Power BI Premium.
Okay. So if I purchase Premium, I get both. I can use both the cloud, PowerBI.com, and I can use Power BI Report
Server. Yeah. So each Premium SKU comes with a CPU allocation to it. So like EM1 is one CPU, and then P1 is 8 cores. Right.
Okay.
And so SQL Server is licensed by cores.
Yep.
And so if you buy P1 and you have 8 cores as part of P1, you also get the right to use 8 cores on premises with Power BI Report Server.
So
and
I
you can spread that out.
That's what I was about to ask you. So I can have two report servers in a scaled out deployment if I want to. And I can put a load
each one having 4 cores. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So now you can do scale out with up to 4 cores on each box.
Right.
Yep. So it gives you the right to do that. And this is the other option is if you don't have premium, if you have a SQL Server Enterprise Software Assurance or SA agreement, you also get the right to use Power BI Report Server as well. And so with the Software Assurance Agreement, it's also core based. And so if you have the right for 8 core, it's the same thing. You have the right to use Power BI Report Server on up to 8 cores.
But I mean, it's still, it just follows the SQL Server licensing though, right? So,
if well, I get 16, for SA,
yeah, with software assurance,
right?
Whatever the software, got it. All right,
And then
good stuff, man.
Another question I got is like, well, do I still have the right to install reporting services and Power BI Report Server? And the answer there is yes. So, I mean, they're both available to you. So, it's just a question of which one you want to use, or if you want to, you know, you can install SQL reporting services over on machine A, and you can put Power BI Report Server over on machine B.
Yeah. So. But if I have Power BI Report Server, what am I missing from reporting services that I don't get in Report Server? I haven't looked at all the release notes and things like that.
Good question. What I've been asked a lot is, you know, well, if I've got Power BI Report Server, why would I ever use reporting services then? SQL Server reporting services. And now that Power BI Report Server is out, are you guys just going to stop doing SQL Server reporting services?
And
the answer there is no, we're not stopping SQL Server reporting services. There is going to be a SQL Server 2016 reporting services. And
2017.
I said 16. Yeah, 2017. Yeah. So SQL Server reporting services 2017. Mm-hmm. Oh, so many years. I'm getting old, man. I'm like, what year is this?
You're young, man. I'm the old one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We covered that in the New York. Yeah, we covered that in New York. So the way I try and explain it is, and I don't know if the marketing guys like that I explain it this way, so Power BI Report Server is everything in Reporting Services Enterprise Edition plus Power BI Reports.
Yeah. So
that's it.
So I don't need to stand up a SSRS. I just stand up my Power BI Report Server.
Stand up Power BI Report Server. You can do everything you can do in SQL Server Reporting Services Enterprise Edition.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
All right.
So you can scale out. Cool, you can run paginated reports. You can do whatever. And so someone asked me, was like, well, why would I ever want to use that if I'm using Power BI Report or if I can use Power BI Report Server?
And
it may be that you don't need Power BI Reports. Yeah. And maybe that's just, look, we're not using that. We're just going to stick with SQL Server Reporting Services. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
You don't have to. Good. So, and you know, the same thing, Power BI Report Server, it's branded Power BI. It looks like Power BI.
Yeah.
But you can still do the custom branding in Power BI Report Server. So you can totally change the look and feel of it. So
I like the look and feel. I'm not changing mine.
No,
mine's up and running. I mean, use it for all my demos.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's, so you basically what it is you have options.
Yep.
I like options.
Yep. So the last thing I want to ask about premium is, so I haven't looked at the GA of Power BI Report Server, but I know the last install, it said, hey, you need Tabular Model 2012 CU, something like that. still the only data source for me right now?
So the only data source right now for Power BI Report Server is a live connection to SQL Server Analysis Services. So tabular or multidimensional.
Tabular or whoa.
You can do either. So it's the same as it's the same functionality of what you can do in live connections in the Power BI service. So the same limitation. and the same capability. So it's live connection, whether it's through a gateway in Power BI service or it's in Power BI report server. It's the same restrictions, limitations, and same functionality, but it's live connection to SQL Server analysis services, tabular or multidimensional, and it has to be SQL Server 2012 SP1 CU4 or later.
Yeah. All right, because I had that question about multidimensional. Yeah, and I wasn't 100%. No, but I'm going to get my demo set up.
Same thing as what you can do through Gateway. So do you know why it's SQL Server 2012 SP1 CU4 specifically?
Nope.
So the reason for that is SuperDAX or the DAX capability inside of multidimensional. I don't think it's specifically SuperDAX, but multidimensional before 2012 SP1 CU4 did not support DAX statements coming into it. It couldn't process. It could only process multidimensional. And so with CU4 of SQL Server 2012 SP1, it was enabled for multidimensional to consume DAX expression. So it understood it only in Enterprise Edition.
Got it.
And then starting in SQL Server 2016, you can use Standard Edition for either multidimensional or tabular because we allowed standard for those capabilities as well.
Yeah. Everybody should just use Enterprise. That's what I say. Everybody use Enterprise.
Well, be you great. Know, I don't know. Daddy Warbucks over there. You know, you got the money.
Somebody said you work for Microsoft. That's why you say use Enterprise. Like, it's all the capabilities. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, I get free product keys, so why not?
That's right. It's all clear now.
Internal usage, I can use Enterprise. It's fine.
Yeah. I think it's all clear, though. It's not as difficult as people think. The biggest pushback I got was about the free.
Yep.
And then yesterday, not yesterday, but I was doing a session for Pass BA, and the question that came up was, so I have the 365-day trial, and you did the Minute Monday to show, you know, how many days you have left.
Yep.
On your trial. And so it was like, so what happens after my trial is over? Like, you got to spend some money.
Go back to free. Yep.
If you don't spend some money, you go back to free. Yep. Do I lose anything? And so if I was... the sharing capability. That's the only thing.
Well, so what'll happen is, so say that I'm a pro user, you're the free user.
Yeah.
And I shared a dashboard with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using the pro trial.
Yeah.
And it's just in your personal workspace, right? It's not, it's not in an app workspace. And you get converted back to free. You will still see the dashboard in your list. So it doesn't go away. But what happens is when you try to look at the dashboard, it'll pop up saying, hey, this is, you need a pro license to get to it. So we still have it there. So it's not going, it doesn't disappear. It's just that you can't look at it anymore. So now if you had access to App Workspaces as a pro trial user, you're going to lose access to those again. Yeah. And again, you'll be prompted with, hey, you need a pro license.
Yeah, go spend some money.
You need a license.
Yeah.
You need
pro. All right, cool, man.
So that's premium. Cool. I'm sure there's still going to be lots of questions. We're going to be doing some more videos on it to try and help. We're going to be updating documentation. Keep sending your questions in because that'll help us kind of put all that in. I had a discussion with one of the PMs where we kind of – I tried to do this anyway, but – we basically said, look, if we get a question and we can't find it in the documents, then we're going to get it in the documents. It needs to be in there. Nice. So that's what we're trying to do. So keep your questions coming in. We're trying on updating all this stuff. And there's going to be more videos, both on the Power BI YouTube channel and the Guy in a Cube YouTube channel. So just keep them coming. And the dust will settle at some point. People will get used to it. And it'll be a way of life.
Yeah, I'm going to say something else. I'm switching topics.
Okay.
You know me, I'm all over the place. This guy in this cube stuff,
it's
kind of making me a nerd star, man.
Nerd star.
I'm just letting you know, I was at the Data Insight Summit and it was interesting. It was interesting, you know. People come up to you and people are kind of staring like they want to say hello and you know, like, you can come talk to me. I'm okay. I'm an okay guy. I'm the same guy you see on the camera. I'm the same guy in the video.
You're still warm, cuddly. You like warm hugs. It's fine.
Yep. That's all, man. It was cool, though. It was like, can we take a selfie? I was like,
I know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. But you know what, though? It's good stuff. And they had really good feedback about the videos. Yep. It was like, keep doing them. Yep. Keep doing it. We like the content. Yep. We want more. Give us more. So working on it.
Yeah. Right? And there was a funny tweet at Data Insight Summit where someone said, hey, I spotted a guy in a cube. And it's a picture of you working the booth. So I thought that was entertaining.
And you know what else? A lot of people were like, oh, we hope Adam feels better. You know, let him know.
Adam did some stupid is what Adam did. So Adam wore some socks on a carpet staircase and that didn't end so well. I was in the ER for like, I think 12 hours or something like that. Jeez. Yeah, I couldn't move. I was like, the ambulance guys had to carry me out. At first they're like, hey, can you roll onto your back on the stretcher? And I'm like, I can't. I'm like, it was the most pain I've felt in my life. Wow. And I guess I tore some muscles or something like that. It didn't, yeah, nothing with my spine, nothing with my kidney.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're like, all right, we'll just carry you out like that. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to see that. And sure enough, man, they did. It was amazing. Wow. I was like, how did they do that? I looked at my wife. I was just like, is it bad that throughout this whole thing, I just wish I had my camera with me? There were a couple people that either I think tweeted or emailed or something, basically asking, "Was your camera okay? Like, did you care?" I didn't have my camera on me when I fell. So, but I was like, I wish I had my camera for like the aftermath when the ambulance came and everything. It was awesome. So, it wasn't awesome. Man. It hurt like
all better know, now. Anything, though, right?
But yeah, it's still a little sore, a little tight. But yeah, I'm getting around great.
Cool, man. Yeah, it's cool, all good. Cool. All right. Good stuff, man. This premium stuff, I think it's going to be great. I think it's just going to make Power BI more viral than it already is. That's what I think. Yeah. So.
And it's cool. It's evolving. Like, look, the product team's listening to feedback from the community too. So keep sending it in. And I'm sure there will be updates or changes to it as we go. It'll evolve. It'll be good.
Cool, man.
Hey, Channel 9 viewers. Thank you so much for watching. Please give us your comments and be sure to rate the video, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you so much for watching. Keep being awesome, and we'll see you in the next Adam and Patrick Unplugged show.